This is a big weekend for you, kiddo.
Live and local.
Okay, let's go.
Local news, weather, interviews, contests, birthdays, and more.
Saturday mornings, 6 till 9 on AM 800.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Live and Local. Time for Get Gardening. If you have a question, feel free to text in. You can text 10-800. I would say get it in early because it has been very busy these last couple weeks as we've kind of brought it back. And, of course, you can give us a call, 519-792-2559. Jay Terryberry with me this morning. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Do you have everything tied down right now? Because when I came home last night, I would say half of the neighborhood's decorations that they have outside was rolling down the street.
Yeah, I just looked out the front window, and one of the balls that I have out on one of the shrubs in the front is down. Now, it's not rolling, but I'm going to run out right after the show. I'll see how many are rolling down the road. So.
Yeah, that reminds me. If you're missing ornaments or if you're missing bulbs, we picked a few up last night in the driveway. So feel free to stop by if you're in the Roseland neighborhood and pick some up. But how is everything? Are you ready for the holiday season?
Oh, no.
No. Oh, none of us are, right?
Why would you be ready on December
the
3rd?
Yeah, that's it. No, that's for...
I'm one of those guys that...
It's for Christmas Eve.
It's kind of the starting point.
I usually
don't do much of anything until then. So now we're kind of rolling now. So.
Okay. Checks coming in already. We also have the phone line lit up. We do have a couple options there on the phone line. Two lines open. Again, 519-792-2559. You can text us 10-800. I love this first text. Let's kick it off on the texting lines here. I would like to get rid of grass in my backyard, and I do have a tapestry lawn with various ground covers. They ask how should they start, and they also mention, I'm also glad you extended the garden show. It's the only reason why I listen on Saturday mornings.
There you go.
That is a nice shot at me. I appreciate that. I am sorry I am not your cup of tea. But I'm glad at least you listened and we brought back the gardening show so Jay can come on.
I'll tell you in the winter before we started doing this show again, I still listen to you.
Thank you, Jay.
So
I appreciate that. But how can we help out this listener here?
Yeah, it's obviously it's kind of late to do anything at this time of the year.
Okay.
Anything that you're going to attempt, it's going to be pretty messy. The best bet is to obviously kill off the existing lawn. you can use vinegar. Horticultural vinegar will actually burn the lawn. It might take a couple of applications, you know, for those people that don't want to use Roundup. And, I mean, we have that availability, but it's a lot of people don't want to use that, and I understand. So the vinegar will kill off, it will burn off the surface, and again, it sometimes won't kill the entire plant, and you have to be careful about spraying it on other things, obviously, because it will kill many things.
Okay.
But you want to kill off that lawn. I don't know if they're talking about saving the other portions of their tapestry, whether they have other ground covers or other plants or whatever, but be very careful when you're spraying it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I would say the earliest in the spring you can get out there and spray, start. I would leave it for a few weeks. You're going to get more stuff growing, especially in the spring. You'll get very active growth, and then spray it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're kind of sure that you're killing off everything that you want to kill off. And then, you know, depending on, you know, if you're into early May at that point in time, then it's a matter of what you're going to do, time to prep the soil. I really like to get compost and things into the soil in the fall. And I'm not saying you can't do it still at this point in time. I don't know how many people want to get out into their yards at this point in time and do yard work. Although I looked at the long-term forecast. There's some decent days coming up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be nice to get compost and things into the ground now. But that means you're going to have to strip that lawn and kill it off at this point in time, which probably isn't going to be very successful. So I would say it's a project for next year. And, again, it doesn't have to be done right away. You can extend it throughout the season. But get as many good things into the ground as you can, because as we all know, once you plant, it's very hard to work organics into the soil. So the more you can get in prior to planting, the better it's going to be in the long term. And then once you've done that, and then it's just a matter of deciding, okay, what am I going to do with it now? And then I guess that's up to the texter to decide, well, what are we going to do here? So
the
first thing is really to kill it off and get rid of the turf and the weeds, the existing weeds, and then decide from there how you want to proceed.
Okay, great stuff. Great way to kick off the show again. You can text us, 10-800. Get your texts in nice and early as they're starting to fill up. And on the phone lines, 519-792-2559. That's where we find Mike. Mike, you want to take a shot at me as well? Go ahead.
Good morning, Kyle.
Morning. What's your question this morning?
Yeah, well, I tell you, we have this pine tree on our corner that, you know, it almost looks like the Christmas tree from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
And we had big ornaments on there, and we took them down a few days ago because, we're getting wind gusts right now. I could see it out my window. Sometimes everything's flying around, and then other times it's like it seems like a kind of a light wind. Definitely, guys, don't lose your balls. That's a
there you go.
Oh, it's Kyle After Dark. Well,
what's the question, Mike?
But my question is, I talked to Sandy last week about putting down winterizer fertilizer for Scotts, and he said, you're too late. Now, my wife suggested something, and I'm not sure if that's going to work, but she said, well, can you put it down like in the early spring? And I'm like, I don't know. I think we're going to the regular weed and at that point.
No, she's right. You can. Now, I've never been a big guy for following, okay, you've got to put down your spring fertilizer in the spring and your summer fertilizer in the summer. You know, it's fertilizer's fertilizer. Yes, there are differences, no doubt about it. But if you've got a bag of winterizer sitting there, by all means, you can put it down in the spring. Especially if you didn't put it down earlier in the year. And if you haven't fertilized at all this fall, putting it down first thing in the spring would be absolutely fine. You wouldn't have any problems with that soever. I mean, I've put down fertilizer in the winter, and I agree with Sandy 100%. A lot of it's just going to be wasted. It's going to be washed away. You know, we get as much rain in the winter as we do snow.
Hey,
so a lot of it's going to be washed away, and it's not really going to do much. But by putting it down early in the spring when things are just starting to turn, when you just can see the grass starting to green up, by all means.
Yeah, because I know if I don't do it, I'm going to get a lot of dandelions, although they're easy to control, like once I put the stuff down.
They are, but...
It's gone in 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, the thicker the lawn, the less dandelions you're going to have. Even if the seed's in the ground, the thick turf helps to prevent the sun from getting down there and really helps to prevent a lot of your weed problems. So I would put that winterizer down in the spring. I don't think you'll have any problems with it at all.
Oh, that's good to know. I did put my lawnmower up, so right now my lawn is short, and then we'll do a shortcut in the spring, and
yep.
then raise her
up.
Yeah, I've got it up. I think one setting below the highest.
That's so good. That's about where I keep mine as a rule.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, Jay.
All righty.
Thanks, buddy. Know? Appreciate it. Right. Yeah, anytime you want, feel free to bring that lawnmower over to the other side of Roseland there, and now you can do mine. Checks coming in here again. You can text us, 10-800-519-792-2559. Phone lines are open. We'll take that first break here. Just a heads up, and we'll look into this. Just got a text here. No power South Windsor near the college.
Mine just flickered.
So. Okay, so mine might be out as well then in that area. So just a heads up there. We'll try to figure out what's up. But, no power in South Windsor near the college. So thank you to the texter for that. Again, you can text us, 10-800-519-792-2559 on the phone lines. Kyle and Jay next here on Live and Local. Get gardening on AM 800.
Feeling just a little too close to your neighbors?
Let Live and Local's Get Gardening expert Jay Terryberry from St. Clair College give you advice on what to plant and grow naturally to block their view.
519-792-2559. That's 519-792-CKLW.
Long distance, call 1-800-263-2559.
Welcome back to Get Gardening. Kyle Horner with you, along with Jay Terryberry. It was funny, during the break, we talking there with my producer, Christina, trying to find some winter songs for Get Gardening. We have Cold as Ice, and that's about it. So if you have any ideas for more winter songs for Get Gardening, we never had to worry about that. So now we do. And again, we appreciate Jay and Sandy being here in the winter months. And lots of texts coming in. Again, you can text us, 10-800 519-792-2559 on the phone lines. And Tom, I know you're there patiently. We will get to you. But a few texts came in a little early that I just want to get to here. Jay, for the first time, I'm bringing in ferns to overwinter in the house. They will be in the basement in the south facing light, but not a lot of light. Is that okay?
Yeah, they could use probably a little more. I mean, think about ferns growing naturally. They grow, you know, they're understory plants. They grow on the floor of the forest where they're not getting a lot of light. Light's important, but it's not the key thing. The key thing will be humidity. They will need a fairly high level of humidity, which is difficult to achieve in a house, you know, unless you keep them in the kitchen, where you always have water running, or in a bathroom where there's always good humidity. It's kind of difficult. It can be done. I know people that have beautiful ferns in their homes. They will need to be spritzed. Get a spritzer bottle.
Okay.
I know people that will spritz them every day. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to water them every day, but they will need to be spritzed every day. Try and give them as much light in that basement as possible. Again, you mentioned south window. Even a grow light, you know, if you can get a grow light or two in the vicinity, it will certainly help to supplement that light and keep it on during the day. You don't have to keep it on at night. Just keep it on during the day when the sun's out, and it will certainly supplement the light. But humidity is the key. You know, it's going to need water and it's going to need fertilizer occasionally. But the important thing is to keep up that humidity. Keep spritzing it. You know, in the area and get a humidifier down there, you know, if possible, if it's really dry, and that'll really help. You know, if there's a wood stove or some type of electric heat down there, that's going to be problematic. So that's really the key.
Again, you can text us 1-800-519-792-2559. This one came in off air. Can you keep mums in the pot? They came in over the, you know what? That just was a text. Oh, no, the first one was a fern. Sorry about that. Yeah, so how about this one? Can you keep mums in the pot they came in over the winter?
You can. Success will be limited, I think. You know, if they're nice fall mums and there were some beauties this year, you know, I would prefer to see that pot. You can keep them in the pot, but sink them in the ground. If you're going to keep them in the pot outside, mulch them in if you can. You know, pile some leaves around them, get some wood chips or mulch or something like that, and kind of heal them in. That will certainly help them. Just leave them sitting beside the garage or on the patio in the pot. They're probably going to freeze solid, and they're probably not going to make it. So try and protect them, but certainly you can give it a shot. Some of them will make it. Some of them might not. But if I could get them in the ground, I think you're going to be much more successful that way.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. Again, you can give us a call, 519-792-2559, and that's where we find Tom. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Kyle.
Morning.
I'm fine.
Good.
My question is, I like to keep my rosemary, you know, alive during the winter so I can plant it back in the garden again in the spring.
Yep.
And it's in a heated garage. It's about 50 degrees in the garage, and it's on the countertop, and it faces due south, so it gets lots of sunshine.
Okay.
What can I do?
You've done what you need to do, but the key is don't overwater, and I think that's where most people fail with rosemary. Rosemary, especially during the winter months, likes it really dry. I had a beauty last year, and I actually bring mine right into the house. I sit it right in the front room in the south-facing window, and it's been doing very well. I had to move it into another room once we're setting up all the Christmas stuff here, so I'm a little anxious. But last year it was beautiful. Everything was nice. We were going away for a while. I gave it a really good watering and came back, and it was done. And I think I actually overwatered it. You're better to leave it on the dry side than you are on the moist side. So I rarely water it, maybe once every 2 weeks, and I give it just a little bit of water. And that seems to be the way to go. You can kill them with kindness. So keeping it in that temperature where you have it with some light and very little water, it should be fine. Now come, I'm going to say February, once we start getting lengthening days and you start to see a little bit of new growth on it, Then you can possibly start watering a little more. And again, I mean a little more. Maybe once a week you can give it a little bit of fertilizer until you're ready to, you know, start setting it outside and getting it used to the outside environment. And again, set it out during the day, bring it in at night, excuse me, for a couple weeks. And then you should be ready to go after that. But yeah, really, really cut back on the watering. And I think that's the key, you know, to keep,
you said,
to keep it going.
Yeah, you said fertilizer, Jay. Now, what would the numbers be?
Oh, just any, like a 10-10-10. Something,
10-10-10.
Yeah, something along those lines. Or something close, you know, if you can't find that exactly. And a soluble fertilizer, you know, that way when you do water it, say, once every week, you know, give it a little half ration of fertilizer. But again, that's probably not until March. You wouldn't even have to worry about it till then. So just sparingly water right now, and you should be okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right,
Tom.
Good luck.
Absolutely, buddy.
Thank you. Bye.
See you, Tom. Jay's definitely the man. And yeah, best of luck with that rosemary plant. Again, you can give us a call, 519-792-2559. You can text us, 10-800. Let's head over to this text here, Jay. When is the best time of year to trim sides of a cedar row?
Almost any time. I would really recommend doing it right now. The problem is the cold weather's ready to set in, and anything that you trim at this point in time will probably get a little winter burn, and you'll get some browning of the tips, especially where you've made your cuts. A little bit earlier in the fall would have been fine. Right now, you can do it. It's not going to kill the plant or anything, but you're going to get a little excess browning forming during the winter months. After your spring growth is probably the best time, because you're going to get a flush of growth in the spring, and then you can certainly trim it up and maintain it, you know, so you've got the nice even sides, or you want to bring it in, or whatever the case may be, and then just kind of trim it up as necessary for the rest of the year. But to do it right now, again, you could, but it wouldn't be my first choice. Like, I'm a little concerned about the winter burn, so any other time is probably fine. Most of your conifers can be pruned at various times. I mean, there's things with spruce and pine you have to watch out for, but cedars, not so much.
Okay, again, you can text us, 10-800-519-792-2559 on the phone lines, and that's where we find Tom number two this morning. Tom, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What's your question for Jay?
I have a number of rose bushes with a lot of rose hips on them.
Okay.
Do I cut them off or do I leave them on?
Well, I usually remove them. part of the problem is they're taking energy away from the rest of the plant. Now, at this time of the year, the plant's not really doing anything, so to leave them for the winter, if you like the way they look and you want to leave them for the winter, you can. But usually during the active growing season, when the hips form, especially in the fall, I tend to remove them, because within the hips, obviously, which is the fruit, you're going to get your seed. And that takes energy away from the rest of the plant. The plant producing seed to maturity takes a lot of energy. So by removing those hips when the roses are done blooming, or to remove your, you know, your flowers, you're not creating the formation of those hips. So, again, all the energy is going into producing new leaves. It's going into the roots, et cetera. So at this point in time,
is it too late to remove them now?
Pardon me?
Is it too late to remove them
now? No. You can go out there and do it today. You might blow over, but you can go out there and do it today. No, you can remove them right now. It'd be perfectly fine. I just did a fall trim of my roses, actually, to bring them down to within a couple feet in height just to prevent snow damage and things like that in the winter. So if you have
a climbing rose, two of them, and they go way up to my eaves trough.
Yeah. Oh no, I would definitely go out there and prune those down, because you're going to get some winter damage on those. So, you know, you can bring them down to whatever height you want and remove all those rose hips. It's not a problem right now. Like I said, they're not really taking energy away from the plant now. There's not really that much growth going on, but I would certainly remove them just to help prevent damage.
Okay, so those that are real, real long, I cut them way down, eh?
Yep. And leave at least a couple feet, because there is the possibility of winter damage. You know, if we get a really, really cold spell, some of those canes could die down pretty far. So don't cut them down too far. Cut them down to a couple feet, and then in the spring, you can do what we call a finish pruning and prune them down further and thin them out as well.
Okay, thank you kindly.
All righty, have
all
a
right,
good day.
Tom. Yeah, best of luck with that. Thank you for, again, calling in and being part of the show. We got open phone lines, 519-792-2559. Texts are coming in, though. It is busy on the texting lines. And, again, we'll usually we can get to all of them, so we'll do our best. Again, you can text us 10-800 just before the break. So, Christina, you can listen up. We were talking about December music, right, and songs for the cold edition, the cold winter edition of Get Gardening. Some texts coming in. We got December Rain by Satellite Station. We got Cold December by, I think it's Rod Wave. That band I do not know. I'm sorry. Cold Hearted Snake by Paula Abdul. We got Break the Ice by Britney Spears. And a good one here, December by Collective Soul. I haven't heard Collective Soul in a while there. So those are some texts coming in again. You can give us some heads up. Help out Christina here with some great music on Get Gardening, the winter edition. Again, you can text us 10-800-519-792-2559. So much more with J. Terry Berry next here on Live and Local Get Gardening on AM 800.
House, condo, duplex, apartment.
Whatever you call the roof over your head, no matter how big or small, you can easily dress up your place with living things.
For advice on what will work best, call Get Gardening now and talk with J. Terry Berry from St. Clair College.
519-792-2559. 519-792-CKLW.
TELUS users, punch star 800. A free call, courtesy of Kelcom.
Little Britney Spears, Break the Ice. Christina, nice job. Appreciate that. And again, thank you to all that text in with songs here that we could use for the winter edition of Get Gardening. Again, J. Terry Berry with me. Lots of texts coming in. You can text me, 10-800-519-792-2559 on the phone lines as well. And Raymond, we will get to you. I know you're waiting there patiently. Just a heads up, though, there is a traffic report. Power lines are down in Amherstburg on Concession 3 North. That is north of Texas Road. Emergency response is on site. So I think some of the vehicles are out there as well. But again, that's out there. Power lines are actually down. So be safe and careful out there. That is on Concession 3 North out there in Amherstburg. Again, that is just north of Texas Road. Emergency vehicles are responding to that. So a heads up about that. Let's get back to some texts. And the text that came in a little earlier, and this is actually, you see this with my maple tree as well. So I know this is a big problem throughout the city. Jay, I saw a lot of maple trees, including some of mine, with black tar spots on them this fall. I picked up all the leaves in the yard and disposed of them. Is there anything to watch for in the spring or to help reduce tar spots spreading next year? It's a great question.
Well, yeah, it is a great question, and they did, you know, the first thing that they should do, which is remove all the leaves, rake them all up, especially the ones that have all the again, that's what it's called, it's black tar spot on maples and other trees as well, but mostly on maples. I've got them on at least two of the silver maples in my yard. It's kind of weird they're not on all of them, but anyway, get rid of all the leaves, you know, excuse me, that you can, bag them up, you know, put them at the road, don't compost them. Don't rake them up into the garden, because then all of those black spots will release spores, which will potentially reinfect the tree the following year. So that's the best thing that you can do, and do that on a regular basis. Unfortunately, there's such a number of them around now that have tar spot, a number of trees, that obviously it's really difficult to control everybody's trees that roll into your yard and everything that's going to happen with the leaves. So, but the best thing you can do is that. Try and keep the trees happy. You know, water, especially, you know, the year that we just had was severely dry. And that really doesn't help the trees that much either. So keep them watered. Fertilize them once a year if you can with tree spikes. You know, prune regularly. That gets air movement into the tree. So if you haven't pruned your big trees in a while, get a tree service in there, or if they're smaller, you know, do it yourself, but get the air movement in the middle of the tree. All of those things will help to reduce the fungus. But again, we have to keep it from spreading as well. So keep the trees happy, get rid of the leaves, and really that's about all you can do. Tar spot doesn't necessarily going to kill the tree. It may shorten its life over the long haul because it cuts down on photosynthesis. The leaf surface is reduced, so the tree is not photosynthesizing as much. And obviously that's going to cut down on food production and growth, et cetera. So whatever we can do to help will certainly make a difference.
Okay, great. Let's head over to the phone lines again. You can give us a call, 519-792-2559. That's where we find Raymond. Good morning, Raymond. How are you?
Good morning. I'm
morning. Good, good. What's your question for Jay?
Okay, I've got two things. Clematis and honeysuckle. I'd like to know the best time of the year to dig them up and give them to my neighbor.
You
nice.
You can do that now. The ground is not frozen. If you wanted to dig them up and move them now, you can. It might not be the best time. If you would have called
right.
me a month or two ago, that would have been better, but that's okay. certainly can be done now. There's time for the plants to be moved and get into place. Now, they're not going to put out growth at this time, so that's why I would suggest that maybe this isn't the best time. I mean, you could do it, but it might not be the best time. Other than that, do it first thing in the spring.
I'll do that then. Okay.
Yeah.
You'll wait it out?
Do it first thing in the spring. Cut them back a bit. Get as much root ball as you can. Move them into the new place. And honestly, they're both pretty tough plants. They'll probably do.
Yeah. I can't get rid of them, so I got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
All right, Raymond. Well, hey, that's very kind of you to pass them over to your neighbor. So best of luck, okay?
Thanks a lot. Yep.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye. Appreciate that. Again, yeah, phone lines are now open, 519-792-2559. You can text us 10-800. Let's keep it going here on the phone lines. Jay, a good time to fertilize a Hoya plant?
Not now.
Okay.
Hoya plants or wax plants, as they're referred to commonly. There's a lot of different Hoyas. They're beautiful, beautiful bloomers. Kind of a succulent type of plant. Some people keep them in hanging pots, you know, and they hang down. Or there's many different varieties. We had a bunch when I was at the college years ago. I would not fertilize now. Again, most of your cactus, succulents, things of that nature, they're not going to be doing much this time of year. Even in the house, I fertilized my cactus and succulents couple times when I brought them in from outside. I've now reduced that and probably won't hit them with fertilizer again until well into the new year, probably end of January, beginning of February, when light levels start to pick up. I will fertilize them. And again, just a regular liquid fertilizer. You know, I would cut it in probably half the recommended rate. You can add it when you water. And again, you'll be watering a plant like that sparingly. So come 1st of February, a half shot of fertilizer, and I'd probably wait again another 3 or 4 weeks and give it another one. But for right now, I wouldn't worry about fertilizing it too much. It's just not going to be able to use it all. You're going to build up salts in the soil, and that's going to be just as dangerous to the plant as not fertilizing at all. So I wouldn't even bother right now.
Okay, let's keep it going here on the text line. Jay, is there a way to buy clover leaves or promote clover I already have growing in my lawn to take over? I want the lawn that stays green through drought and doesn't need cutting.
Yeah, clover is available. You can try some of the co-ops, some of the seed stores, because they will sell it, you know, as a cover crop. It's usually mixed in with a lot of things that farmers use as cover crops. That helps to build up nitrogen in the soil and organic matter in the soil. I remember when I was a kid, and I've mentioned this before, my dad used to buy grass seed. It had clover mixed in it. So when he would spread seed on our lawn, we had patches of clover all over the place. And
really?
It didn't bother us, didn't bother him. Yeah, it was just...
Because it drives me crazy. I'll be honest with you. I try to get rid of it when it's on my lawn.
Yeah,
I didn't even
yeah.
think of actually using it as my lawn.
Yeah, and it's a nitrogen builder. It helps to add nitrogen to the soil.
Really?
There's many, many benefits to clover. Clover's a miracle plant. It's a really good thing to have in the ground. I don't try to get rid of it. You know, my lawn is not a golf course green by any stretch of the imagination. It's a functional turf space, and I don't worry about clover at all. Now, I don't go planting clover, but I don't worry about clover that's in it. But yeah, you can find it, and you can mix it in with seed, or you can just top dress it into your existing lawn, put down a little soil, spread a little clover seed. But I would call around to some of the co-ops, some of the farm stores, some of the seed stores, and I'm sure you can find some straight clover to just add to your mix.
Great stuff, Jay. I learned something new. I didn't know about that. Yeah. Again, I just try to kill it off and, you know, replant grass seed in that area. So,
or actually, or a better thing might be to go online to a seed company. You know, there's a number of them out there. Just go seed companies, and you could probably order some online and have it delivered as well. That might be a way to go.
Okay, great stuff there, Jay. Appreciate it. Let's head over to the phone lines again one more time. That's where we find Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm fine. How
good.
Are you guys?
Good, thanks. What's your question for Jay?
Okay, Jay, I have some mushrooms that are popping up everywhere in my yard. Now, it looks like, it almost looks like eggs. Like, they're white.
Yep.
They're round.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And I have an, like, a dog, so I've been, picking them.
Right.
But I'm concerned about that. Like, what the heck is that all about?
I don't know. There's so many different types of mushrooms. I don't, you know, I've got a dog, too, and I've got my mushrooms popping up in my lawn, and he doesn't even seem to have any interest in them whatsoever. I mean... They're not the greatest smelling things in the world. So
no, I know. So I don't even know if they're poisonous for her or not, but why all of a sudden am I getting these white mushrooms?
Well, because we're finally getting some rain. We haven't had any all year. And now, you know, the last couple of weeks we're getting more rain than we've had for the last 6 months. So that moisture is causing the underground portions of those that fungus to start growing, and all of a sudden the mushrooms are starting to pop up because they want to produce spores. I mean, it's starting to get cold, but it's still not cold enough. Like I said, the weather's been good. You know, it's 11 degrees this morning when I got up. So mushrooms will form, and it has everything to do with the moisture. There's organic matter in the soil that the fungus is living in. So there's old roots in there. There's old wood that's been buried. Who knows what's down there? But something is causing the fungus to grow, and the fungus is growing on this organic matter. I mean, the best way to curtail it is to dig up what's ever underground. It could be old tree stumps. It could be who knows what it is. You know, there's so many things buried underground in our properties. We don't know what's there that's organic matter, but that's what the fungus needs. And then when we get all this moisture, all of a sudden you get the fruiting bodies, the actual mushrooms, breaking the surface. Most of the activity always takes place underground, but when they want to produce spores, up they come to release the spores. So, you know, digging is one way. It's obviously not the best way in most people's minds.
No,
but that will certainly get rid of them. Once things dry up again or it gets too cold, that'll be the end of them for this fall. Excuse me, not saying they're not going to come back next spring.
Yeah,
I've heard people say they use some disinfectant, like Lysol or something like that, and pour it in the area, and it disinfects the fungus. And they said it gives them relief from the mushrooms for sometimes a season or two. I've never tried it, but I have heard of that method as well, so...
And it's not going to spread like through my whole lawn.
No, it's only going to go where the organic matter is. You're only going to have wherever the mushrooms are now, that's where they're going to remain until that organic matter fully breaks down. And once it breaks down, you won't have any more mushrooms there. You won't have the fungus there anymore.
All right.
Yeah, that's
okay, Lisa.
So again, you might not even know if
sure
there's tree roots or stumps or whatever underground. You wouldn't know if you moved in there after, but that's usually what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks Lisa.
Okay.
Thanks, bye. Take care. Jay, I don't know if you know, is it poisonous, though, or is it a danger to the dogs, or no?
Well, it depends on the type of mushroom.
Okay, so it just depends.
There's so many, and Sandy would be the guy to ask about that. He would know his mushrooms better than I would, but there are many that are edible, and there are many that are not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, if a dog ate enough of them, they could get sick. I'm not saying they couldn't. Yeah.
Okay. And we had a texter text in saying, Canadian Tire has clover. So for that texter that was talking about clover, there you go. Yeah, CT's got it. So, again, you can text us, 10-800. Lots of texts coming in. I got to take that final break. We'll get through all of them, though, I promise. We'll get through all of them. Again, you can text us, 10-800, as I know most of the city is waking up. This is always a busy time of the show, so get them in. One more time, text us, 10-800. Jay Terryberry with me. It's Get Gardening Alive and Local on AM800.
Taking the guesswork out of gardening.
This is Get Gardening, part of Live and Local, Saturday mornings 8 till 9 on AM 800.
Now, baby, just spit me out. Don't worry about, don't
Oh, this brings me back. Going to hockey, dad driving me to hockey, listening to A Collective Soul. I like that song. Thanks, Christina. Appreciate it. Great way to kick off a Saturday morning. Get Gardening, Jay Terryberry with me. I am Kyle Horner. You can text us 10-800. Lots of texts that are coming in again on that final break. You can tell when the city is waking up. Jay, let's kick it off with this one. Good morning. We recently moved our new vine tree into the house for the winter. It spent the summer outside in the sun. It's approximately 4 feet tall, and the trunk is about 2 inches around. It has produced very small lines, just bigger than a grape. Probably my question is two things. Should we take these small lines off, as they don't appear to be getting any bigger? And the second question is, how much water should we be giving it in a week? Thanks for taking my question.
I always like to trim up my plants before I bring them in. It doesn't really matter what it is. I will always remove, you know, first of all, I'll remove some of the dead and dying branches, but I'll also trim them up a bit because inevitably when you bring plants in the house, they're going to lose leaves. So I always like to prune them up a little bit. You're still going to lose a few leaves, and I can do a little. I do typically do a pruning or two in the house throughout the winter months. So yes, I would definitely trim that stuff off, clean it up a bit. I wouldn't worry about too much about getting into the middle of the plant and pruning that out at this stage. You could, but that's something I generally recommend you do in May when you bring those things outside. Get them all cleaned up and get them ready for the year.
Jay, just a second. The texter texted in, not a vine tree. She said, or he or she said, sorry, it's a lime tree. So sorry
lime
about
tree.
That.
That's fine. Yeah. Still a thing.
Okay.
My guess is that once you've brought them in, the limes are going to fall. I can't guarantee that, but unless you've got them in a bright, bright south, nice big south window, and you know, there's decent heat and decent humidity, it may be those limes. I mean, I wouldn't take them off until they start to fall off. You might as well see if they're going to grow or not. The best thing is obviously to have it outside when those limes are forming and have them form fully outside. But I wouldn't remove them until you have to remove them at this stage. Watering, again, you want them to dry out between waterings. Don't keep them wet. You know, they're a tropical plant, they're a citrus. So once they're dry, the soil is dry to the touch, water them and let them dry out again. Don't overwater at all. Fertilizer, again, at this time of year, I wouldn't worry about it too much, but because there's limes on there, I would give it a little bit of fertilizer with, you know, actually with each watering. I would maybe go a half to a third of the normal rate on a liquid fertilizer. You probably want something with a little acid, so some type of acid soluble fertilizer that if you can find, there are some varieties out there, would certainly help as well. So a little bit of fertilizer, I would say water probably once a week at this time of year would probably be ample, but again, check the soil. You can even get those little probes that you put in the soil that registers the moisture for you. That may help with a citrus plant, but I wouldn't remove those limes until you have, you know, until they fall. They may even develop.
Okay. Let's do a little rapid fire here as we're running out of time. Jay, should the flower from the hydrangea plant be cut off now or wait until spring?
Yes.
Now.
You can do either.
Okay.
It's totally up to you.
Okay. Should I be fertilizing my house and indoor tropicals over winter? I thought no, and then you said to fertilize the fern.
I would say yes, fertilize, but now is not really the time. And here's what I do, and my tropicals are usually quite nice, so just go by what I'm saying. And there's other things, but when I bring them in the fall, I give them a couple good shots of fertilizer, and then I normally don't fertilize them again until February when we start to see an increase in the daylight hours and the plants actually start to push out a fair amount of new growth, and then I start slowly upping the amounts of fertilizer. So normally for December, January, I fertilize not at all or very little.
Okay. And finally here, a fun question to kind of end off the day. I don't actually know what a Christmas cactus is, but how do I get my Christmas cactus to bloom? It's approximately 4 years old and hasn't bloomed since I bought it.
Yeah, I don't know if they put it outside or not. I keep all mine outside, And when I bring them in, the reduction in the amount of light forces them to start producing buds. It's just like naturally in the fall with chrysanthemums, with mums outside. It's the same thing with your Christmas, Thanksgiving cactus, Easter cactus, whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
Put it in a north-facing room. You don't want to put it in a dark room. You can, but it's not going to help the plant too much. But a north-facing room where it's not getting any direct light and it's going to be fairly dark in there during the day, that's enough to keep the plant alive. But the darkness triggers the formation of flower buds. Mm. Once you can do that for about 2 or 3 weeks and then move it back into a full sun location, and that generally is enough to produce flower buds if you're having difficulty getting it to flower. I got a couple that flower every year in November, December, no matter what I do to them. I've got one. It's a little trickier that I have to move around and get it into a darker room and then, for, like I said, 2 or 3 weeks, and then move it into a front room where my son is, and it usually will produce buds at that point in time.
It's beautiful. I didn't know what a Christmas cactus was,
so yeah,
I just
gorgeous.
Looked it up here looking at pictures.
Oh,
gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. They're great. Yep.
Yeah. I kind of want to go out and get one right now. That's all we got time for, Jay. I really appreciate it. Again, it was a packed show. And I guess we'll talk to you, right before Christmas, I guess,
yep.
right?
Yep, be here in a couple weeks.
Unbelievable, man. It's coming. Get ready, buddy. Get
okay.
going. Thanks. Take care.
Hey, you have a good day.
All right. Yeah, start shopping. Really appreciate it. Again, phone line's busy. Texting line's busy. Texting a little bit earlier. Make sure we can get it in. Of course, you can always text us 10-800. But thank you to everybody that was a part of the show. It was a lot of fun. Some great stories today. Thank you for being a part of it. I will be back. Visions of Canada will be with me at 2 o'clock today. We'll help your golf game a little bit here at 2 o'clock. And then Brad Bondi, broker, RE/MAX Preferred Team Brad Bondi, will join me to talk about the market today at 3 o'clock. So some great experts coming up on that as well. Hopefully everybody is staying dry. Stay safe out there. I got a fun text here. The Orange Barrels on Provincial are having a dance party. They are everywhere. So obviously it is very windy out there. So be safe. Have a great afternoon. Have a great Saturday. Thanks for joining me. It's Live and Local Get Gardening with Kyle Horner on AM 800.